Phil Hendry.
And welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. And truth is our bitch on this show, and it is on our website as well, philhendryshow.com. If you're not a backstage pass holder, if you're not a backstage pass gripper, if you're not a backstage pass squeezer, I suggest you get one, Robert.
Yeah, squeeze, man.
Yeah, you gotta get one and squeeze it.
Well, if you're asking me my opinion, I think just holding on to it...
Probably you're right, Margaret, but whatever you do, get a backstage pass and join us online. You can watch our live streaming video of the show every night, as well as listen to thousands of hours of archived radio, great radio shows, absolutely phenomenal radio shows that we have kept for you that you can download. And certainly, well, you can exchange them between friends, like you know, trading cards or things like that, at philhendryshow.com. The largest archive of any single radio show anywhere, and funny. Yeah, we think so. We take it relatively seriously. We don't claim to be the funniest show ever, but from what we've heard so far, we are.
Well, I think to be modest about it, you can say it's the funniest show with that many hours of audio on.
No.
All right, I'm not going to get into a big discussion. Fact is, just get a backstage pass, $9.95 a month. Hours of audio, as well as our live video cast, as well as the podcast of the show, as well as our news feed, as well as miscellany. We have videos of TV pilots. We've done television interviews, radio interviews, on and on and on and on. A huge press section. By the way, we are getting ready to load in a few more press clippings. Thanks to Amir Forster doing public relations for the Phil Hendry Show. We've got the Bobby Dooley podcast is out there, man. We're going to have to get Bobby on the air again because she's smoking right up the charts there. And she will be interviewing Jay Moore is dropping tomorrow. The interview with Jay Moore, part one, drops tomorrow. You can hear it on SoundCloud. You can hear it on iTunes. You can access it by way of philhendryradio.com. And then part two. And then Kevin Pollak, the great actor-comedian, will be in studio sitting down with Bobby Dooley. The Bobby Dooley podcast, it's a real phenomenon along with everything else. Visit us at philhendryshow.com. Get that backstage pass. All right, Victor Short, or Vincent Short, Mr. Vincent Short's going to join us here in a moment to talk about what concourses are. And we've been talking about the Lamborghini, and we talked about the Corvette, and we talked about, you know, cars that your husband, that Frank might own, or that people of means might own. But we're talking now with Vincent Short from British Concourse Magazine about some rides that really take a lot of money, but they are owned by people that just love automobiles, take great care of the cars that they have, and as the result, the rest of us can enjoy them. Right, Vincent?
Well, that is absolutely correct, Bill. The automobiles that you'll see at Amelia Island, where we were just reporting for Concourse Magazine, the beautiful automobiles there, everything from the early Packards or the Duesenberg, the very famous Duesenberg, the 28-cylinder, and you move from that era into the 1940s and the classic Ford and Chevrolet designs, the automobile design. But there are also an array of different kinds of automobiles from France, the three-wheeler, the Metros, the American sports cars, the Thunderbirds, the Corvette. There are an array of different stock-bodied race cars from the 50s and 1960s. But the automobiles that I think are the most impressive, when you go to the Amelia Island Concourse, the most impressive of these cars, I think, are the Alfa Romeos, the pre-World War II automobiles. And I'm thinking specifically, Phil, of a car that I fell in love with when we were at the Concourse. It is called, by the way, Phil, the Amelia Island Concourse d'Aragon. And this is the 18th year, and it is absolutely the event of the year for people who are lovers of the classic automobile, people who love to look at these classic cars and to enjoy the classic cars up close and take in the engineering as well as the design. And enjoy a very, very beautiful weekend.
This I wanted to ask you, Vincent. Concours d'Elegant, which I don't know if you pronounced it correctly.
Well, no, I called it what it is called is the Concours d'Elegant.
Well, I think it's Concours, but that's all right. We don't have to argue about that.
I spent 10 years as a writer in France. I lived in not only Paris, but in Marseille as well, and on the coast there in Nice, along the Riviera, so I think I know what I'm talking about. I don't want to get into an argument either, but I don't want the impression left that that you, and you know, you're stateside bound. I don't know if you've traveled as much as I have.
Well, I'm not going to get into an argument. I'm going to tell you that, in my opinion, it's Concours de Lugon.
Well, hold on for just a moment. The way that it is pronounced, and what I learned at 6 years of secondary school...
No, Phil, can we just agree to disagree?
What? Oh, no, hold on. What I learned, I'm telling you, 6 years of secondary school, Concours de Lugon. What you did there was affect a tuition or an erudition that you do not have in the French language.
All right, hold on for just a minute, Vincent.
And I think that...
Hold on, Vincent, hold on. She's gotten up and left.
She got up and left, did she?
Yes.
All right, well, that probably serves our purposes very well, because I did not want to conclude my end of this conversation this evening by hanging up, but I was not going to sit and listen to that rubbish any much longer than I had to.
All right, I apologize.
No.
All right, Margaret, that's fine, but I would ask you, if you're going to stay out of the studio, stay out of the studio. Don't come in here.
Please stay out of the studio.
I'll deal with it, Vincent. Please stay out of the studio, because I don't want to have an argument.
No, if I need to come back in here for a tampon.
What did she say?
Oh, could you get them now, then?
Fine.
What did she say?
It's all right.
I said I needed to get a tampon, okay, short?
My goodness.
Well, you asked for it.
Margaret, don't be a child. Have you got everything you need?
Dad, like she's going overnight camping or something.
Did that woman say, am I right in assuming she said she needed to get a tampon?
Yes, you're right.
Good God.
All right, Victor, I'm sorry.
My name is Vincent, in the name of Jesus. My name is Vincent.
I apologize, sir. I can only tell you that sometimes this radio show is not like most. There's a lot of confusion.
I'm gathering that.
All right. Let's talk about the Alfa Romeo 6-8. Gorgeous car. Anyone who's familiar with the Alfa Romeo Zagato, right?
Yeah, it is the Zagato Aprilia, a 1931 six-cylinder, the 1750, and it is an absolute remarkable piece of engineering and design, Phil. And as you know, and as anyone that loves a beautiful automobile knows, that when you put those two elements together and you do it in proper proportion, you have the perfect automobile. You need to have, obviously, a well-engineered, a very, very well-engineered foundation, and then the design that is mounted on top of that. And design must, it simply must, take into account functionality as well as comfort. And put it all together, and I think you have that in the Alfa Romeo, the 31.
Did you test drive this?
Oh, I would like to answer yes to that, but unfortunately, as I was beginning to leave, and I was going to test drive, we had a misunderstanding with Hal Benier and Stan Elkington, who's not related to the golfer, Steve Elkington, Stan, and they apparently had a problem with my enthusiasm, and I was escorted from that area, and I found myself, though, Phil, going over to a beautiful place called the Fascination, the 1974 two-door sedan, which was an electric car, a three-wheeler.
Can we go back, though, to the Alfa Romeo?
Well, yes and no. There are some things that I can tell you and some things I've been told by my attorney that I shouldn't mention. So...
I'm sorry to hear that. What can you say?
Well, I can tell you that I've been covering the concours, different concours or concours de l'écoton. I've been covering these for a great many years. And
hold on. What, Margaret?
Did you hear the way he did that?
Would you please get out of here?
You sound really stupid.
Was that the aforementioned Ms. Gray?
Yes. She apparently, when she hears French...
Well, wherever you are, Ms. Gray, I may sound stupid, And that's all well and good. But for you to come on the air and pronounce these words, these French words, with a pomposity and a... I don't even know what to say. I'm lacking in the proper vocabulary to characterize how ridiculous you sounded. But, Phil, to finish my thought.
Go ahead.
I love covering these concourses. I was there, and Stan Elkington came over as I had gotten out of the Alfa Romeo, and there was an issue, and I said, fine, I'll leave the area. Now, to answer your question, when I cover these concourses, I find it very exciting. Very exciting. And to express to you how exciting I find covering the Concours de la Côte d'Azur, the JT Pompon Fichinotone, and the different ones, I am quite a unique reporter. And as a result...
Can you hold on for one more second?
Well, I'm trying to get something out that's very embarrassing.
I understand, but Bud Dickman, what?
I just got off the phone with Bill Whistle and Stan Elkington, and they...
Yeah, they told us.
Okay. Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard...
And Bud Dickman is who? Is he with the Concours Le Bouton? Because I didn't see him.
No, he's one of my producers.
I see.
They are telling me that they found out from the concourse what the problem was. Well, what was it?
Well, I mean, they said...
Let me tell you, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Because I don't know who Mr. Dickman is, and I'm sure he is a very trusted advisor of yours, but I would need to say it myself so that you understand.
All right, we need to break. Can you hang on?
I can hang on. Yes, I can, Phil.
All right, with me is Vincent Short. He's a writer with British Concourse Magazine and just attended the Amelia Island Concourse d'Elegance, which is a collection of gorgeous cars. These are all automobiles that are collected and donated to this sort of exhibition for a weekend of enjoyment by auto enthusiasts and aficionados. So we'll be back and find out a little bit more from Mr. Short as to why he was led from the Alfa Romeo, which he was going to test drive, I understand, and they basically told him to leave the area. 877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch.
Leaving the Phil area Hendry too. Show.
All right, hold on.
Okay, I'll hold on, Phil.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
World famous Phil Hendry Show. I'm trying to get over here to the picture gallery for this Amelia Island Concours d'Elegance photo gallery, and there are some sweet looking rides here. There's no question about it. With us here is Vincent Short. He's a writer. He's been writing about auto concourses for a long time. And some people may not know what a concourse is, but it's essentially just an exhibition. And my understanding is this year there was an auction too, Vincent.
Yes, Phil, there was an auction of some of the automobiles present for charity, and I'm looking at some of the slides right now, and perhaps your audience saw the beautiful Duesenberg, which is a sort of a legendary automobile, an incredibly beautiful automobile, well-engineered, and the 16-cylinder, I thought I said 22, I didn't mean to say 22, it's 16-cylinder, 20 and 12-cylinder, but also the fascination, which was the electric car. I don't think that people are aware of the fact that there was quite a bit of engineering that was done toward the electric models in the early days. And so there is, a lot to be learned from the early engineers.
And now I want to, and I don't mean to, you know, I don't want to hit anything too hard if you don't want me to, but you were inside the Alfa Romeo, and I wish I could get the Alfa Romeo. There's a roadster that we have on the screen right now. I don't even know if that's it. But the Alfa Romeo that you were talking about was a white Alfa Romeo?
Yeah, this was the Bugatti Alfa Romeo, 1931 Alfa Romeo six-cylinder. That's not it. That's a, as you said, Bill, it's a roadster of some kind. That may be an Alfa, but a different type. I was very excited when I was told that I would be able to take a bit of a spin in the Alfa Romeo. And I got into this automobile with Stan Elkington, who is one of the individuals helping to sponsor the event. And I was, as I said, excited about this. Elkington apparently had a secondary thought. He noticed something. He got out and asked me to get out. They brought in the cleaning crew, and that's when I was asked to leave the area.
All right. I mean, you're not. There's obviously something you're leaving out here.
Yeah, I'd like to jump in. Now, I'm not going to cause an argument.
So you're back now, are you? And you're going to what? What does this woman want?
Hold on.
Because I'm not going to sit still for any insults.
Hold on. Why are you here?
I feel it is my duty as a journalist to be here at this moment. I will not cause a fight, Vincent. But I think when I hear you say that you were aroused and they brought a cleaning crew in, I've got to ask some questions.
No, I think you came back because of the prurient nature of what I'm saying.
I can assure you, sir, that it has nothing to do with the prurience of it. I don't find it prurient at all.
Well, I can assure you that the few minutes that I had talking with you, Ms. Gray, were so off-putting and so insulting.
And I can assure you I feel the same way.
Well, then wait a minute, Margaret. Then why are you back here?
Well, why is he here?
He's my guest.
I was asked to come on the program.
Hold on. He's my guest. So unless you're going to talk with respect and not get into an argument about how things are pronounced...
Yes, because as I said, I spent 6 years in preparatory school in France.
All right, hold on. So you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I understand.
I didn't hear you. What?
I understand.
So to continue with my story... Elkington and I got into the Alfa Romeo. It was at that moment that Elkington made a gesture with his arm. It was almost a spasm of the shoulders and the arms as he was avoiding looking at me, but he got out of the car. The best way that I can describe it is he went from being very loose and being very friendly to almost robotic in that he... put his left hand to the side of the left side of his face as if to shield his eyes from me, and then turned swiveling at the waist and got out of the car. Now, this was all done in one deft maneuver, and it was then that he came around the side of the car, still shielding his eyes from me, holding his hand to the right side of his face, grabbing my arm and pulling me from the car.
No, wait. He was avoiding looking at you as he got out of the car.
Yes.
And came around and pulled you out of the car, still with his hand up to the side of his face.
This is in order to shield his vision.
Yes, that is correct, to shield his vision. And I shrugged because these people that you deal with, Phil, these are automobiles after all. I love them, and I think they're a very fine hobby to have. But the sun doesn't rise and set on this garbage as far as I'm concerned. And I'm saying that because as much as I enjoy writing about the classic cars and the concourse, the sun doesn't rise and set on these rolling garbage cans.
Well, how can you talk on the one hand about how beautiful these cars are?
Yes, and then say they're rolling garbage cans.
I can say that because they're beautiful, but at the end of the day, they make no difference in my life or in your life, in the quality of life, whether people will not die in war, whether children will not die from disease or starvation, whether the elderly will be eating cat food as opposed to tuna fish. Nothing in this world will be changed if you took all of the classic cars from every concourse that ever was and drove them, didn't push them, but drove them into the ocean, thus losing the car and the driver to drowning and rust. That's how I feel about it.
Good Lord.
That is an extremely sharp point of view.
Is it now? That's how I feel. And when I'm told to get out of a car because I was aroused, and then they bring a cleaning crew in before I've cleared the area, to make sure I see the cleaning crew, because it was punitive. There's no question at all.
Hold on. I don't know what happened here. You talk to him, Robert.
No, talk about a concourse. That's all it's going to be about, too.
I'm not asking you, bud. You talk to him. It's about the concourse, right?
Yeah. He didn't say nothing about being escorted in the area. He said that he got aroused. And I said, well, I like football.
Don't you know what he means when he says aroused, you idiot?
I'm not an idiot or anything like that.
Hold on. We'll be right back. Here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and I'm just along here with Vincent Short. The writer, Vincent Short, is a writer for British Concourse Magazine. We're looking for, bear with me here, Vincent and Margaret, we're looking for the concourse show that you were at. Here's one from Pebble Beach that has quite a few beautiful cars.
I was not at the Pebble Beach show. I was at Amelia Island. The Amelia Island show was the one that I was at. And for you to understand, and I think for Ms. Gray and all the others to understand what it was that I endured, you have to get to the Amelia Island concourse photographs, and there you will see what it is that we're talking about.
Okay, I found it here, and let me show my audience. This is the car that you were driving.
Oh, that is absolutely gorgeous.
Yes, thank you. That it is. There is the 1931 Alfa Romeo 6C 1750 Zagato Aprile. Now, this automobile...
I'm sorry, Vincent, but isn't that Aprile?
I'm not going to abide this, Mr. Hendry.
Margaret, will we just defer to Mr. Short on the pronunciation?
Fine. It's no big deal. I don't care. I'm the way you are when it comes to these car shows. I like them. And I like language, but there are starving children.
Yeah, thank you. I agree. And that's why I say to you, Mr. Hendry, I love going to the concourse, and I love going to the different concourse shows. This is a beautiful car. And if you could scroll through just to give people an idea of what we saw, there is a 1909 Thomas Flyer. It's almost the kind of car you'd see at Disneyland. And here is where I drew the line with the people who organized the event when I said it looks like one of those cars from Main Street at Disneyland that you get in.
Like the fire trucks.
Say that again, please?
Like the fire trucks on Main Street at Disneyland?
Yes, I said that to them. And again, I was given that look. And I said, don't tell me that that's what that is. And Bill Churton, who is a man I ordinarily have a great rapport with, said... Why are you trying to cause trouble? And I said, Bill, I'm not trying to cause anything. And I said, are you trying to tell me that that's exactly what, did you pull that off of a kiddie ride at Disneyland? And he kept walking away. So I didn't address it in my column. I ignored it. But there you have, ladies and gentlemen, what I'm pretty sure, if you're seeing it there on the videocast, I'm pretty sure is a kiddie car from Disneyland, not a classic car that they wanted you to think it was, and it isn't. And here it is, the 1974 Fascination.
All right, now here is the three-wheeler, right?
The car as well, but I was looking at the young lady, the model, because, and here's why.
Well, are you saying that when you said here it is, you're thinking of the woman?
I think I made that clear.
All right, but we're talking about a car show.
Yes, we're talking about a car show, but I'm wanting you to look at this young lady. She's wearing a pair of silver tights and gold boots, and the tights were sprayed on. There's no getting around that. There's no getting around the fact they were sprayed on. You can look at the hair and the lips, and I got a look at her, and I didn't care whether there were cars or flying saucers there from that point forward. Her name is Amanda Torn. She lives in Chicago, and I spent a marvelous evening with her and a night, yes, following the show.
Are you sure that that's information she would like shared?
At this particular point, I don't care, because my reputation has been ruined by this the organizers of this event when they brought the cleaning crew in to work on the bucket seat that I'd been sitting in.
All right, I think we need to know what happened.
I'm not going to be pushed into it.
I want to know. I agree with Ms. Gray.
Well, I told you that when I got into the Alfa Romeo, and I think you had the picture up there, at least give me the common decency and courtesy to show people why it was that I was excited. And so when you do, people will at least have some understanding as to why I reacted the way I did. There it is, the 1931 Alfa Romeo.
Right, and you got into that car, and sitting next to you was Stan Elkington.
Yes, and when he was very affable and very friendly and said, "Now, Vincent, why don't you go ahead and..." And then he stopped. There was a spasm of the shoulders up. The head jutted out and then back. He put one hand to the side of his head, shook his head as if, "I don't want to see," or whatever.
What was going on? You keep describing his reaction. What was going on?
I told you. I was aroused.
Good God.
Well, when you asked me...
Oh, all right, hold on. So he got out of the car, you got out of the car.
He got out of the car. No, he got out of the car and then pulled me out of the car before I was able to do anything myself. I was very happy to have done a lot of the cleaning myself.
God!
What was that?
That's a member of my staff. So he pulls you out of the car and they brought a cleaning crew in.
Yes, and they did it in the most demonstrative way. We need a cleaning crew. We need a cleaning crew at the Alfa Romeo. And meanwhile, I'm being hustled off, being held on either arm by very big security personnel. Blue shirts, hats, nightsticks. And I'm in the middle of them. And a cleaning crew is rushing to the bucket seat. So put two and two together and what have you got? Five? No. Seven. Wrong again. The number four.
Well, what is that supposed to tell us, Vincent?
I'm not talking to you at all, Ms. Gray. From your initial crack about how I sound as if I've got a mouthful of...
She didn't... Let's get off of that because we're not on that any longer. But what we're talking about is you had... We've gone from talking about a car show... to you having some kind of a physical reaction to sitting in the Alfa Romeo requiring a cleaning crew.
That is exactly what we're talking about, yes.
Were you prepared to come on the show tonight and talk about this?
I had no choice once you singled out the Alfa Romeo. It happened to be one of my favorite cars at the show, and I had no choice.
If I had avoided talking about the Alfa Romeo...
It probably would not have come up.
Nice going, Phil.
What do you mean, nice going, Phil?
Well, I think that the point is well made. If you had kept your mouth shut about the Alfa Romeo...
You know something? I'm going to say this, Vincent. That is not Phil's job to read your mind and to know what it is we're supposed to stay away from. You could have said something to our producers before we went on the air.
Well, I didn't say anything to the producers because I didn't think anyone would have the temerity and the bad taste to ask me about getting aroused sitting in a sports car...
I didn't ask you about that.
The hell you...
Well, I can... Now who's the child?
What?
Now who is acting like the child?
I came on the program.
Yeah, get it. You drink a water or something.
What did he say?
You do need a drink of water, okay?
All right. Well, I need a drink of water, but that woman came on the program.
Okay, I understand that this has been difficult for you.
Yes, very.
And I understand that I brought up something that I shouldn't have brought up. I'm going to put him on hold. Did he hang up?
If I were him, I not only would I hang up, but I would... Not only would I hang up, but I would step out of an open window. There, I said it.
We have far too much talk on this show about suicide and stepping out of open windows. We almost have as much talk about that as we have of going to the bathroom, which is where Ms. Gray just went. Now, Bud Dickman is on the phone with my guest, advising him as to wet his whistle. Where is he, Bud?
Right now, he's in a hotel room, being,
He's in a hotel room with, well, what?
I just told him to order on a room service. You can get ginger ale and everything. And he said, yeah, I know. And I said, well... And he said, well, I don't drink it. And I said, what about water?
He goes, okay.
Yeah.
What?
Well, okay, fine. So he's ordering water from room service.
No, he's pouring it out of the tap.
Okay, so he doesn't want to get room service.
He did, but he didn't want to get ginger ale.
Why doesn't he order water?
He's getting it out of the tap.
Yeah, he's got it in the tap.
Hmm, okay, so he doesn't need room service.
Yeah, he does.
Well, what's he getting from room service?
A steak. Like, God, you're asking stupid questions.
No, you're right. It was. It was a stupid question. I'm sorry. So we're hoping that he does wet his whistle. This is the world. I apologize, ladies and gentlemen, for the taste. I had no idea that the situation was as it was. Let's take a phone call. 877-876-PHIL on the line here from Alhambra. Go ahead, Lloyd. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. I apologize. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yes, Mr. Hendry, the gentleman that you had on your program just a moment ago was talking about the Alfa Romeo, the 1750 Zagatti Brio, and I had that car right out of the Navy in 1953, and I can tell him that that six-banger, that the six-cylinder that they had in that, he may think it's a beautifully engineered car, but that couldn't make... I don't think it would qualify as a soapbox derby car, and I mean that sincerely. It had no guts at all. No guts at all.
You're talking this Alfa Romeo, huh?
That's exactly what I mean. I had the Alfa, and when I got out of the Navy, I bought it from a buddy of mine, and he had it in a junkyard. They were going to use it for parts. I said, well, let me see what I could do. And the first time I brought it out here to California, and I headed down to Bunker Hill, downtown Los Angeles, and tried to get it up the hill, to, right up there on Hill Street, and no guts. And I said to my wife, it's ironic that I come out of the hell of Korea only to come home to a gutless automobile. And she said, ain't that a son of a bitch? And I said, you better believe it, sweetie. And that's the last I saw of that. And I wanted to ask the man if he's there.
Hold on for a minute. Where is our guest?
Yeah, Mr. Short, get on the radio.
Yes, Phil, right here.
Oh, Mr. Short, we have a gentleman on the line who wants to ask you a question.
Yes, sir. Mr. Short, my name is Lloyd Bonafide from Alhambra, California. Yes, sir. The Alfa Romeo that you were sitting in, did that have a red teak wood in the dash? Well, yes, it did. Some of those cars did. Yeah, the 31 did. Did it have red sort of trim on the bucket seat? Yes, it did, as a matter of fact. Okay, I owned that car at one time. You did? Yes, I did, sir. Now, they might have reworked the engine, but the car that I owned was a gutless. It was gutless. Well, I don't know. I didn't have the opportunity to drive it because I got aroused when I got in it. Yes, I understand. I understand completely. Have you had that reaction? Yes, sir, I have. I had that reaction when I first went out with my wife when I bought the car. Now, you bought this car from who? I bought it from a Navy buddy of mine that had it in a backyard of his in the Mojave Desert for scrap metal, and I said, and I took it and I drove it, and it had no guts. Well, I don't know. The lines on the automobile are beautiful. And I really do love it, but it was it obviously caused me quite a... It broke your heart, didn't it? Yes, it did. It broke my heart too, and I'm just simply saying to Mr. Hendry, go easy. I don't know, Mr. Hendry, if you've ever, and this is going to be a tough one, and Mr. Short understands, if you've ever had an intimate moment. Well,
with a car?
With a car? Yes, with a car. Now, he doesn't understand. I think Mr. Hendry understands better, though, than Ms. Gray. Well...
No, I haven't.
Well, before you say anything, smartass, let me tell you that automobile has been loved physically by two men.
Oh, I'm glad you did that.
Yeah, I'm not going to deal with that anymore. All right, so two guys had sex with the Alfa Romeo. One of them is a writer for a British sports car magazine. The other, some Korean War veteran. We'll be right back. This is the world-famous Bill Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch.
Yeah.
The Bill Hendry Show.
I don't think so. That's what he said.
Y'all depressed about it.
Yes, it's depressing.
You're listening to the world-famous Bill Hendry Show.
Hey, welcome back. Here the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, and online at philhendryshow.com. What I was doing was just during the break showing to our audience the pictures from the Amelia Island concourse, and we still have some of them up. And what we're looking at here just, and I can describe these to you guys listening on the air, these are classic cars. And Dan was just telling me about classic, what'd you call it, distressed or classic shabby? Classic shabby, shabby chic, where you come out with the car as it originally rolled off the assembly line, and if during the interim it has achieved a level of distress, you know, peeling paint and maybe a few dents, well, that's just the way it looks, and that's what you bring it out to the concourse as. And there's a 1962 El Tiburon Roadster. I've never heard of the car that they have a picture of, and this thing has rust spots. It looks like the whole left fender is just been exposed. That looks like primer paint there. A few dings, and the looks like it needs a new top. It's just all banged up and all jacked up, and it's beautiful, right, bud?
Yeah, I don't know. That's bitching just to own that.
And so on and on it goes, and some of these cars are just amazing. What is it about our love affair? How would we have ever have known when the automobile was first created? There's no way of tracking who created the first car. It was one of those inventions that was spontaneous. And if you want to talk about human invention, you can look no further back than the automobile as to how humans came about creating things. There have only been very rare instances in the history of the human race where one area created something and the whole world copied it. And that was early on in the development of writing, where, as I've said to you before, writing originated, wholly originated, in only two spots on the face of the earth, Mesoamerica, which is today Mexico, and the Middle East. And both of those places gave rise to the blueprinting of their blueprinting or copying or something like that. The automobile seems to be an invention that came to us spontaneously. In different parts of the world, there were internal combustion engines being worked on and were being used in different ways, but ultimately to the same end, to transport human beings as a means of transporting people. And so we had the motorized bike, and the horseless carriages, the motorized carriages. I don't know that you can actually look in any one place, say, here's where the development of the automobile began. But who would ever have thought that from the development of this device to take us someplace faster than a horse and buggy could carry us, that not only would it just be a means of transportation, and we would make it more efficient, obviously, faster, safer, but that it came to represent so much about us, that it became a work of art. And I don't know, are buggies like that, Margaret, do you know?
Well, why are you asking me, for God's sake?
Yeah, you're probably old enough to remember them. Ow!
Go ahead, Ben. You know, you want to get between a dog and his meat.
All right, well, everything got to turn into a fight.
Well, Phil, you're asking... Oh, Margaret, from your experience, what did the horse and buggies look like?
I wasn't saying that. I was just asking you your opinion.
My opinion of what?
You're still feeling hurt because this guy was telling you how to pronounce French words?
Yes.
Yeah, get over it.
I got something for you to get over. Why don't you get over this?
A lady doesn't do that.
No one can see it.
Man, Miss Gray, that's dirty.
Yeah.
You're lifting your skirt up.
You lousy...
Hey! Well, bud, now everybody knows, huh?
Yeah.
I said no one could see it until you opened your big fat...
In any event, I would imagine that buggies I don't know. I mean, the poor people, the rich people would, you know, traipse around in their freaking buggies and think they were all that. I guess clothing represented a lot of the ego trips of people. But cars, man, when we got the automobile, that became a whole, that was a whole new world of, you know, of man expressing who and what he is. So anyway, we're looking at some of these pictures. This is a Rolls Royce from 1936, the Phantom III Sedanka DeVille. Doesn't look like much now, but...
Well, it doesn't look like much, but you'd probably climb all over that.
Yeah, I would, as a matter of fact. Here is, the next car is the 1909 Pierce Arrow. We saw that. There's a 75 Ferrari. We saw that. Here is a Stingray Concept. And now that looks like a road racer there.
What's that doing? There's no top to it.
Yes, it's a race car. That's what the race car people use.
The race car people...
In any event, so that's a Stingray. So there you have, if you ever get a few million, a lot of guys that collect cars, you know, they're the rich guys, but actually these automobiles, in and of themselves, they aren't that much money because they're, I don't know, are they the original? We'll find out. Anyway, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, back next hour with more. Probably get off the subject of cars, given the fact that Mr. What's-His-Name had that accident in the front seat and they had to get a cleaning crew. Anyway, we'll talk to you.
How filthy... You disgust me.
Phil Hendry.